Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY car fix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at Honda.com.
Charles Pitou.
Charles Leclerc Pitou.
Yeah, because I think Ferrari can do well here. Now is going to be probably the first weekend that we have proper heat. Tracks like this, I think we're going to get quite a few overtakes.
And what do you make of Carlos Sainz?
I expected him to be a bit closer, or if not faster than Alex.
Welcome everybody to the Bahrain International Circuit for F1 Nation's preview of this weekend's Bahrain Grand Prix. I'm Tom Clarkson, and joining me in the paddock is Aston Martin test and reserve driver Felipe Drugovich. We're taking some shade under a palm tree because the temperatures are skyrocketing. It's 32 degrees as we speak. And Felipe, you're going to be driving FP1 this weekend. Are you ready for the heat?
Yeah. So first of all, hello, everyone. Pleasure to be here again. I think I've been here a couple of times.
Friend of the show.
Yes. But yeah, ready to hit the track. I think it's going to be an exciting session ahead. Tires are going to be suffering as much as we're going to be suffering in the cockpit, I think. Yeah, it's pretty hot outside. I just looked at my phone now. I think it was 36, what it feels like right now. So yeah, it's even more than what it actually is. So it's pretty hot. But I think that will make it quite interesting also for what we want to test. Even though the race is going to be during the evening, I think it's still going to be pretty hot.
Look, what is the job list for you in FP1?
I think first of all, just get through the plan that the team gives you. And that means, especially now at the beginning of the year, there's a lot of tests going on, you know, just trying to still understand a little bit of the car. And also, especially at this track, even though we got 3 days of testing, it's never enough. And I think, you know, catching up from those tests, there's all those little things that they see, okay, this we should have done something different in this test or that. So in this few runs that I'm going to get, I think I'm just a continuation from the test that we had here.
And what about your own preparations? Because you've done many miles around here, both testing and, of course, you've raced in the junior formulas around here. Have you done anything specific for this session?
Not really, to be fair. I think I've done the normal preparation that we do to each race, which is basically just getting to know the track again, just obviously, you know, driving lines and stuff, but also the simulator is much more for the team nowadays, so we do a lot of testing and stuff that they need, like wing sweeps, and see what type of downforce we're going to run during the weekend, also a few different setup stuff, and basically just gets me prepared for the weekend anyway.
Can we now open this up a little bit in that, you know, we've had three races so far this year. In your mind, have we got a bit of a pecking order yet, or are we having to wait for this weekend? Because of course we had the February test here as well.
Well, I think we kind of see already how it's gonna, you know, turn out during the year. I think McLaren's up ahead, and then you get the Red Bull, Mercedes and Ferrari kind of similar together there. And yeah, for ourselves, it's been a bit of a difficult start of the year, kind of similar than to last year. It's very close to the other teams that are around us at the time. So we need to wait and see a little bit more. I think now is going to be probably the first weekend that we have proper heat on track. So that changes a lot the way the car runs and setup wise. So maybe that can change a little bit.
What do you need to be quick around this racetrack? What do you need from your car?
I think there's not so many high-speed corners here. So I think slow-speed performance is really important, especially when it's this hot. You know, the wings become a lot less efficient and you need that mechanical grip from the car. You need that slow-speed grip. So I think that's something that the teams really try to extract out of the car, which means slow-speed grip, traction out of the corner is really important. And that just translates a lot into the race. You know, if you can get good traction out of the corners here, it's really important. You know, we have enough power to wheel spin the car at fourth gear out of this corner. So, you know, the little bit more traction you can get is always good.
And are we going to see more pit stops than we've seen? Well, the last two races have been one stops. It's an abrasive asphalt here. You talk about needing, you know, good acceleration out. It's rear limited. Do you think it's going to be a two stop?
Yeah, we need to wait and see a little bit. I think they create this picture of what's the race going to look like during FP1 and FP2. Because sometimes, you know, being that much warmer makes the cars go so much slower that the deck is actually not that bad. But, you know, we need to wait and see a little bit. I think it kind of tends toward the two-stop. But different to last year, we've seen also now in Suzuka, the tires are hanging on a lot more than last year. So that can also play into the game.
Felipe, you mentioned Suzuka when we saw that amazing performance by Max Verstappen. Do you think Red Bull can repeat that here? Or do you think it was a specific set of circumstances that allowed Max to win? You know, the brilliant qualifying lap, the fact that you can't overtake around Suzuka. Do you see the possibility of that happening again here?
Well, I think if he pulls it off, it's going to be pretty special again. I mean, it was already super special there. I mean, it was all about that qualifying lap that he pulled out something from nothing and that gave him the win, I think. You know, if he wouldn't have started P1, he would never win the race.
Do you think qualifying is more important this year than it was last year? Because there's so little performance difference between the cars, difficult to overtake as a result. So where you qualify is even more important.
I think it's not really related to the car's performance. I think it's more related to tire performance. I think the tires are hanging on a lot more, and that makes, you know, obviously less deg. So there is less performance difference between the cars, which makes it harder to overtake. So I think that's, you know, something that is making qualifying more important this year. But it's a small difference. Obviously, you know, tracks like this, I think we're going to get quite a few overtakes because, obviously, again, there's a lot of deck and very hot. So it makes it more interesting.
Quick word on Ferrari. What's the feeling at Aston in terms of where Ferrari are? Were you expecting more from them? Are they about where you expected them to be?
I think based on the test, I think people were expecting a little bit more. But it always comes back to how much fuel you're running during the test and how much you're sandbagging. But there's a few things they need to fix there, whatever it is. But I think they're not really happy with what the car is doing right now. But I think there's a few tracks coming up that will help them, like Monaco. They're really quick normally. Here, they're pretty good also.
They've got a good record here, yeah. Leclerc in particular, yeah. Isn't he?
So I think we need to wait and see a little bit more now.
What do you make of Hamilton's transition to Ferrari? What are the main difficulties when you're adapting to a new team?
From the driver's perspective, the car is always really different. I think people kind of forget sometimes how difficult it is to go from one team to the other, especially from the pure driving phase, you know, because there is a lot of stuff you need to learn from the car and you know, procedures we need to do, but just the pure driving style changes a lot. You know, it feels from inside the car like a complete other category, you know, sometimes. And I think that's it's pretty difficult, but he's done really well. I wasn't expecting him to win that sprint race, so that was kudos to him. It was really nice. But, you know, you can see sometimes quite a big difference between Charles and him, and that, I think, just comes down to, you know, being used to the car and the team all the time and different situations can have a bigger impact on him. I think it's you know, there's a lot of things you need to learn in the background, and that, you know, all combined is pretty difficult. Even though, you know, there's an Italian team, different mentality, different
language
as well. Yeah. And I can tell from myself, you know, going from English teams to Italian teams, there's a very different mentality. So that's pretty cool to exploit. There's no better or worse, but there is many differences.
The passion
from
Ferrari. Yeah. I think it's something that Lewis will feed off, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think if you go, there's always pros and cons to that. You know, if you go from an English team, which is always more like, you know, this is the job I need to do, I will do it the best I can, and that's it. And there's like the Italian people that are like, they're really putting a lot of passion into it, which can be worse sometimes, but I like it. I like the way, you know, Italian works, and that's pretty cool.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com.
George Russell has had the best start to a season of his Formula One career. He seems Mr. Consistent. He seems very happy in that car.
Yeah, I mean, from outside, it looks like a good car to drive. Maybe not the quickest right now, but it looks quite nice to drive. So I think he's doing a mega job. And yeah, I think if he can get a little bit more performance out of the car, they can be fighting for it.
Do you think they can fight for the win here in Bahrain?
Difficult to say. I don't think it's been a Mercedes track, this one, normally, no?
Traditionally not, yeah. Because it's been overheating its rear tyres, but they appear to have done a pretty good job of sorting that. And Antonelli, his teammate, I feel we're seeing quite a steep growth from him, race by race. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think even in Suzuka now, he was, you know, struggling quite a lot in practices and qualifying. But in the race, he did a really good job. His stint, especially his first one on the mediums, was
long
and really good. You know, the pace was there until the end, and he took advantage of being in clean there, and that was quite nice from him.
Right, that's the teams at the front. Can we just talk a little bit more about the midfield scrap that Aston is currently in? It's led by Williams at the moment, who have scored more points already this year than they did in the whole of 2024. Do you think it's going to be nip and tuck all season? Do you think Aston can overhaul Williams here this weekend? What are your thoughts?
I think, considering the performances from last three weekends, I think there was quite a bit of difference from, you know, the top midfield, which is Williams, to us. I think Fernando did a really good job now in Suzuka to put the car where it was, but it was not a nice car to drive. So yeah, I think we might struggle a little bit again, but I think now is a bit clear the direction the team needs to go to improve that. But yeah, I don't think it'll be that close to Williams at the moment.
And what do you make of Carlos Sainz? And I think we can call it struggles that he's had so far relative to Alex Albon. Have you been surprised that it's taken him this long to get up to speed?
Yeah, I think I was a bit surprised. You know, I expected him to be a bit closer, or if not faster than Alex. But
immediately?
Not immediately, but sometimes we judge from outside, you know, and it's not so nice, especially the drivers. You know, you look at the onboards and you see how the car drives. It looks like a nice car to drive, the Williams, you know, even though they are, you know, far from being the quickest. But it looks actually a good car to drive. It looks easier from outside. I'm not going to judge it fully from the outside, but we create our opinions sometimes from outside. And I thought, okay, this might be a car that he can be up there with Alex, or if not quicker sometimes, but he's been struggling a little bit. So I think, again, it's a new team, new procedures, new people, so it takes a bit of time. But I think that also translates to good job by Alex, to be fair.
Yeah, he's really got the bit between his teeth this year, and people tell me that there's a little bit more of an edge to him, actually, just in the way he's approaching the day job, and it's definitely translating onto the track. One thing we have seen a lot, I feel, in the midfield is a bit of a roller coaster from one race to the next. I think of Haas and the struggles they had in Melbourne, and then they get the double points in China, and then Ocon in particular struggles again last time in Suzuka. We've seen Stroll in your team. We've seen him have those 2 points finishes and then struggle a bit more in Japan. Given that these regulations are quite mature, has it been a surprise to you that we've seen these fluctuations in form?
No, it's not been a surprise because, as you said, I think because they are becoming old or mature, these regulations, I think everyone's getting to the limit. Everyone's really close together, and that makes it fluctuate quite a lot, the results. Now, if you improve 2 tenths, you go up 6 positions or even more sometimes. And the opposite as well. If you make a mistake, you go down 10 positions. So it's. I think everyone expected that, to be fair.
So it looks more exaggerated than it is because it's so close. You know,
yeah,
as you say, 2 tenths and suddenly you're 6 places further back, whereas maybe last year or the year before, 2 tenths and you're just 2 places back.
Exactly. I mean, already last year was really close together, but I think this year is same or if not closer.
Well, I'm excited about seeing you in FP1. You've won here in Formula 2. You've won here in Formula 2000, if I got that right?
No, in, out of the F2, I won here in MRF Challenge.
That's right.
It's like a Formula 4 championship during the European winter.
So, you know it well. It's going to be fun to see what you can do. At the front, what's your podium prediction?
Oof. I would put McLaren in 1 and 2, but before people say I'm too boring.
Come on, give us some names.
Let's put Piastri in front. Charles P2.
Charles Leclerc P2.
Yeah, because I think McLaren can do well here.
Okay.
I would put McLaren 1 and 2, but
keep it interesting.
Charles P2 and then Norris P3, yes.
But that's interesting that you think Ferrari can make that bigger jump from in the space of a week.
Yeah, exactly. It is a type of track they always do well. And in testing here, they look pretty good.
Felipe, enjoy yourself out there. Thank you very much for
your
time.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And you can keep across the action this weekend via all of F1's channels, and you can watch the racing on F1 TV in selected countries as well. We'll of course be back here on F1 Nation on Monday with our review of the Bahrain Grand Prix, but until then, enjoy the race weekend. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios.
. 2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.